All right, let's go ahead. Let's get our Bibles out. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. When you get there, say, God has been good to me in 2017. All right, before we get to our text this morning, I want to begin by asking you some questions. As you look over the past year of your own personal life, did 2017 go as you thought it would? How did things change for you in 2017? Did things get better than expected? Did things get worse than expected? Were there any big surprises for you last year or any unexpecteds? On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you have rated 2017 for yourself? Hi. On the spiritual side of things in 2017, have you grown in your faith over the last year, or was 2017 more of just a spiritual plateau for you? Have you grown closer to the Lord in 2017 or further from the Lord? Has your verbal witness to people increased, or are you still maybe not sharing the good news? How about your prayer life? Have you been praying for things of eternal value? Have you been praying for things that will bring God glory? Or has your prayer life pretty much just kind of continued to be praying for people that are sick in need of a job or relationship problems? How has your time in God's Word been over the past year? Have you had your copy of God's Word opened, say, Monday through Saturday, or do you still just only open it on Sunday mornings if you remember to bring it to church? Has your thirst and your hunger for God over the past year increased, or was it more of a spiritual diet for you? This is the time of year when a lot of people begin to think about some changes or some improvements that they would like to make in their lives in the upcoming year. Every January, there is a surge in the sale of exercise equipment, gym memberships, running shoes, vitamins, diet foods, organic foods, diet programs, juicers, blenders, and so on and so forth. Why is that? Because when people get out of the shower, they see themselves in the mirror, or they foolishly step on the scales. Now, granted, there's nothing wrong with looking at yourself and realizing, I got to say this, the house we lived in before we moved here, we had a huge mirror. I call that the Bible mirror, because it showed you everything about yourself you didn't want to know. Okay, that's just a side note. I won't even charge you for that. There's nothing wrong with looking at yourself and realizing that you might need to make some dietary or exercise changes. I figured I'd get an amen on Ralph, but never mind. How many times do we look at ourselves, though, to see how spiritually healthy we are? How many times do we look at our spiritual lives in a so-called mirror to see what areas we need to change or make some improvements in? Well, a few months back, I began to look at my own spiritual life, and I wasn't really happy with what I saw. And as I began to seek the Lord on what all I needed to do to fix all these areas I didn't like, I just kind of felt like He led me to one verse that just sort of summed it all up. And it's found there in Matthew chapter 6, and it's verse 33, where Jesus said, "But seek His kingdom first and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." When Jesus said that, He was in the midst of giving His famous Sermon on the Mount to a group of His disciples. Now, the direct context of that deals with worrying about things in life. It's dealing with about worrying about the basic needs of life. It's talking about worrying about finances and worrying about whether you got clothes to wear or food to eat. In short, it has to do with worrying about whether or not our material and financial needs will be met. And Jesus gives us some advice. He says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When we make it a daily pursuit, when we make it our daily pursuit to seek His kingdom and His righteousness first, God will make sure all of our needs are met. It's a conditional promise. We do our part, He does His. Jesus is more or less saying here in that verse, if we will make it a priority to promote God's kingdom, He will make our kingdom His priority. Now, the primary meaning here obviously is about promising to take care of all of our basic needs, but I think we can certainly apply this to the spiritual side of things as well. His kingdom here is a reference to His rule. It's a reference to His reign and His dominion in our lives. It has to do with God sitting upon the throne of our life every day. It's got to do with Him being our King day in and day out. It's talking about when we let Him be in charge of all that we do year round. It's a daily decision we have to make. I mean, if you think about it, if we are not seeking God's kingdom first, whose kingdom are we seeking? Well, there's only two other options. If you're not seeking God's kingdom first, you're either seeking Satan's kingdom or your own kingdom. And so every day we get up, we have to make a decision about whose kingdom we are going to pursue. Our kingdom, Satan's kingdom, or God's kingdom. So the question is, what does it mean to seek God's kingdom? First and foremost, it means giving Him the place of authority in our life. It means removing ourselves from the driver's seat of life and letting Him take over the controls. Secondly, it means to pursue His agenda. It means to do the things that pertain to His kingdom. If you think about it, as you go through life, as you go through your daily routines, you say, what would Jesus do? The famous question. And whatever situation you're in, you just do what Jesus would do. Thirdly, it means getting our focus off of this world and all the things that try to suck us into the world's mold. And we keep our eyes on the things of God that will produce righteousness in our lives and produce glory for Him. And it means to stop putting forth all of our time, all of our labor, all of our possessions towards things that are just really nothing more than temporary. Things that will wear out. Things that will rust. Things that will break down. And put our time, our labor, and our possessions towards things of eternal value. If you look up at verses 19 and 20 there in chapter 6, Jesus put it this way. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, I want to say something here before I'm misunderstood. Jesus is not saying that we should not go out and work and provide for our families, because God gives us all types of instructions in His Word that deals with work ethics. Matter of fact, God even says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, He says, if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. Jesus is not saying that it is wrong to have nice things in life. He's not saying it's wrong to take vacations and that kind of stuff, because after all, God gives us all kinds of financial principles in His Word that teaches us how we can be financially prosperous in life. So it's not saying you're supposed to be dirt poor and have nothing. As I've said many times, sometimes when we read in Scripture, We always want to know what does God say, but sometimes we need to say, what does God not say? And there in verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6, God did not say, but seek only His kingdom. He just said, seek His kingdom first. In other words, don't let your pursuit of things in life overcome or outweigh your concern for the things of God. There's this book in the Old Testament, and some of you are probably familiar with it. It's a book called Haggai. And what that book is all about is how this group of Jews have returned from captivity. They've come back to Jerusalem. They begin to rebuild the temple of God. They get working on this thing. They get the foundation laid. And then they turn all of their attention and their resources towards building themselves nice homes and attaining nice things while neglecting the rebuilding of God's temple. And so God sends this prophet Haggai to get the people to return to seeking God's kingdom work first. The problem was not that they had accumulated nice things. The problem wasn't that they had built nice homes. That's not the problem at all. It was that they had neglected the things of God so that they could focus on having nice things for themselves. Sometimes messages like this can just kind of leave us saying, well, what about what I want? What about the things I want? And that's a good question. So let me pull a Doreen Knox on you and answer that question with a question. What about myself? What about the things I want? Do you think that you can come up with better plans for your life than God can? Do you think you can live a better life pursuing the things you want as opposed to pursuing the things God wants? See, one of the reasons we don't like to pursue God's agenda is because we sometimes just fear, if I'm always pursuing God's agenda, I'm going to lose out on something. We think, well, if I'm always pursuing God's agenda, I'm not going to get to have any fun. Folks, if you think that God is out to rob you of enjoying life, you have a flawed understanding of God. I mean, if you think back to what Jesus said in John 10:10, He says, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have life what? More abundantly. Does that sound like He's out to keep us from enjoying life? Not at all. See, here's what we fail to understand sometimes. When we are living day by day, seeking God's kingdom agenda first, we are actually living life the way God intended us to live it. People go around, they say, well, what's my purpose in life? Well, if you're wondering that, I'll give you the answer. Your primary purpose in life is to live every day in pursuit of God's kingdom agenda. And when you do that, you will begin to enjoy life in ways you never even knew was possible. God doesn't tell us to put Him first in our lives because He is some big spiritual dictator in the sky wanting to tell us what to do. He wants us to put Him first in our lives because that is the most absolute, best way we can live our lives. You can't find any better fulfillment in life than to live every day for Him. As you look at the culture we live in, where everybody is busy seeking their own kingdom, pursuing their own agenda, how's that working for us? Here's the problem, though. Living day to day where we put God's kingdom agenda first is not easy. That's why we have to be told to do it. Living day to day where we put God's kingdom agenda first is not easy. That's why Jesus says we have to seek it. That word seek means to strive after. Putting God's kingdom agenda first does not come naturally because by nature we are me kind of people. By nature, we are people that are all about ourselves first, and everything else comes after I take care of the things I want to do. And so every day, we have to make a decision to seek God's kingdom first. So how do you go about seeking God's kingdom first? Well, obviously, and I'm sure you know this one, it's the best place to learn about God's agenda is by spending time in what? God's Word. You can be assured of this. A person that is not willing to spend time in God's Word is not concerned about seeking God's kingdom. The best place to learn about God's agenda, next best place, first would be His Word, next best place would be reading books that have been written by good, solid Bible teachers, or possibly listening to sermons of some good Bible teachers. And obviously I want to say that that does not include listening to the majority of the so-called preachers on TV, who all they're doing is telling you how to manipulate God into building your kingdom. Secondly, we have to spend time with the Lord in prayer, telling Him that we desire His agenda first, and that we need His help to carry it out. A few months ago when God laid this verse on my heart, that is pretty much how my prayers start every morning, is, Lord, I want to seek Your kingdom and Your righteousness first, but I can't do it on my own. I have to have Your help to do it. And for those who might say, well, I would like to do that, you know, I would like to spend time in the Word and learn about God's agenda. I would like to spend that time in prayer saying, Lord, you know, I want to do this, I need Your help. But I just don't have the time, I'm just so busy. Here's what I say to that. If you are so busy that you do not have time to spend with the Lord, you are seeking your kingdom first and not His. There's no other way around that. As I think of this verse, it leaves me wondering, what do you think 2018 would look like for you or for me if Matthew 6:33 was our passion for the year? What would this church look like if Matthew 6:33 was our passion for the year? See, there's a lot of benefits to making God's kingdom agenda first in our day-to-day lives. First and foremost, seeking God's agenda, His kingdom, His righteousness in your life first, one of the primary benefits of that is it puts God in His proper place in our lives. It puts Him in first place and us in second. Another benefit, all of our needs would be met. It's a promise. It's the promise God gives us there at the end of verse 33. Another benefit to seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness first is we would begin to have hope and contentment in the difficult times we face. We would quit worrying about things because we would know that God was in control. I mean, ask yourself, why would I want to seek God's kingdom anyway if He was not in control? Putting God's kingdom agenda first allows us to live securely in an insecure world. It would allow us to enjoy life in ways we couldn't even begin to imagine, because we would be living life in the way that He has designed it to be lived. Seeking God's kingdom first and His agenda, a benefit to that is our relationships and our marriages would tremendously improve. And I'll add one more benefit. It would impact the lives of those around us. I'll add one more to it. When God's kingdom comes first in our lives on a day-to-day basis, we would get to see God work in our lives in ways we've never seen Him work before. Ways we'd never expect. And as a whole, we would become completely different people in a good way. Seeking God's kingdom first, it's like saying, Lord, I want your will more than I want my own will. And when that is our daily prayer, God will make us a priority in His life. And what He can accomplish in our lives will far exceed what we can do on our own. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. When you really get down to it, technically speaking, He ends that and He says, and all these things will be added unto you. In other words, I'll meet all your needs. When you get down to it, technically speaking, we really don't need that promise. We shouldn't have to have that promise in order to seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. We should just want to do it because of who He is, with no promises to back it up or to encourage us to do that. So let me close with this as we get ready to play the final song. The very first step we ever take in seeking God's kingdom first is the step up to the cross to seek Him for His salvation first. That's the first step to seeking God's kingdom first. Step to the cross, seek His salvation first. What does that mean? Simply means this. You've realized over the years of your life, you've been working in your own kingdom and you've screwed things up. You've sinned against a holy and righteous God. And you say, Lord, I just want to bring all this mess I've made and I want to put it at your cross. I'm asking for the salvation you give me. I want to begin to live for your kingdom. And if you've never done that, you can do that right here, right now, today. Here's what I can promise you based on the Word of God. If you'll work in His kingdom over your own, you will find life will be much better. You can get more accomplished. You will find more joy and hope in life working in His kingdom than working on your own. And then ultimately, when all this is said, done, and over with, you'll get to join Him in His kingdom for eternity. If we spend our lives building our own kingdom, one day that kingdom will burn up. God's kingdom will never burn out. It is eternal. It is everlasting. It goes on forever and ever and ever. So why would we even want to spend our lives building our own kingdom just to see it all be destroyed in time? So I just ask you as we sing the final song, have you taken that first step to the foot of the cross, laid down yourself and said, Lord, I want your kingdom. I need your Son to come into my life and begin to change the direction I'm headed. And God says if you'll do that, He will send His Spirit into your life. He will make you a new creation, and He will begin to change you inside and then outside. In Christ's name. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you right here, right now, this morning. And I just pray, Lord, that this upcoming year will be a year where your kingdom is first on a daily basis. It sounds easy, but it's not easy. We are just by nature me kind of people. It's about me. It's about my kingdom. But Lord, I just pray that somewhere along the way that you will prick our hearts and this verse will come to mind. And that seeking your kingdom every day will just be something we do. There's nothing better in life than living right smack dab in the middle of your will. No matter where that puts us, no matter what that takes us through, that is the best place in this world to be. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness, the salvation you give us, the fact you never quit on us. You're very patient with us. Father, I just ask you to be with these folks as they leave here today, that you will be at the forefront of their thoughts, their desires, and that the remainder of the day will just be a blessing to you. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.